goes on the house, can you get Bourbon Street flavored Christmas music? Huh? The big brass bands from Preservation Hall. Woohoo! We even sing these songs in Cajun French, huh? Now look, if that doesn't put a smile on your face, just turn the radio off, because you're not anybody we want to visit with anyway, all right? Good morning, and welcome to Hour 3 of Rosie on the House, this beautiful Arizona Saturday holiday weekend. As promised, we've packed this show with a lot of great guests and information. Hope you'll stay tuned for the entire next 2 hours. Right now, we're bringing in some special guests to talk trash.
Yes, sir. We have retired City of Phoenix official Terry Gellenbeck, who's joined us here. If you've listened to Rosie on the House for any extended period of time, you've heard him. You know about our famous trash tour that we put together for our listeners and got to see the transfer station off of I-17 and Jomax?
It was Dixieletta.
Dixieletta.
But yeah, it was great. We had a great time. Do it again anytime you want.
We took about 30 listeners. Mm-hmm. That expressed an interest to see it. So we took them, and then we took them all out for lunch afterwards.
Yes, you did.
It was great. We had a great time.
I didn't get to go to, remember? I had another tour to do.
So we'll have to do it just for that. And that I hope it changed everyone else's
perspective.
Trash habits that were on that tour. It certainly changed mine.
It changed mine.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Anybody that ever goes, they see the enormity of the problem, how big it is, and then they change their habits so they don't be part of that problem.
I probably bought a bottle of water or any plastic bottle maybe 3 or 4 since then, and that was just when I found myself extremely dehydrated and far away from home or somewhere where I couldn't fill up my portable stainless steel hydro flask here.
Yeah, that's what we try to do. We try to change people's habits and just give them the information, and people understand. They start until they go, they really don't understand.
Well, you take the trash, mm-hmm. and if you're like me, 15 years ago, when the city delivered the recycle bin to you, mm-hmm. you thought, oh, man, one more government intrusion in my life. If I wanted to recycle, I'd recycle voluntarily on my own. I don't need this crammed down my throat. How much trash do we generate in Maricopa County?
About every in Maricopa County?
In Maricopa County.
Each one of us does about a ton a year, somewhere in that range. And there's about, what is it?
Three and a half, four million.
That's how many tons of garbage that we generate. But in the city of Phoenix, if you think about, if you know Chase, excuse me, my age, showing my age, the baseball park, I'll just go with that.
Yeah, Bank One Ballpark. I'll go way back.
Go from the bottom to the top about 6 or 7 times a year. That's how much volume and space that
fill
we
the entire baseball park. Stadium mm-hmm. park. To the rafters.
Right.
Six times.
Just with garbage.
Where are y'all putting it all?
Well, in the city of Phoenix, there's various landfills in the county, but the city of Phoenix uses our SR-85 landfill, which is out on SR-85 on your way to San Diego or Rocky Point. You go right by it. It's actually closer to Gila Bend than it is to Phoenix. So it's about 60 miles from the center of Phoenix.
We were talking about the size of the universe in our 7 o'clock hour and the fact that you could travel 18 billion light years in one direction and reach the edge of the universe. The other thing, and we were stretching people's minds that way at 7 o'clock this morning, but trash management is a hugely mind-expanding dilemma.
It is. It is a challenge anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, really.
Yeah.
And ours is unique. We're in a good spot or a bad spot, depending how you look at it. But out in the desert, we still have places to put holes for garbage. But if you lived like on an island, like in England or in Japan or something like that, you don't have spaces to put it anymore. So what do you do?
I mean, we're talking compost piles that cover hundreds of acres, thousands of acres.
Mm-hmm. Thousands of acres, yes. And we're starting to get into composting now through our Green Organics program in the city of Phoenix. It's a new... You were talking about the blue barrel that was delivered. Now we're going to be delivered tan barrels.
Mine's pink.
Oh, yeah. We know where you live.
Oh, is that geographically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that. That's in Scottsdale. You live in Scottsdale. Not every city has blue bins. Peoria has brown and Glendale has green.
So. And it all goes to you at the transfer station.
Most of it goes. The waste management company has a large MRF up on the north side, and Chandler has another one out on the east side that they use. But most of the material does come to us.
I mean, just think about the transportation costs of moving all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, the landfill you were talking about, you addressed it by a particular initial.
SR-85, State Route 85.
Okay. I mean, that's 50 miles from my house.
Yes, at least.
At least.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that's where the cost comes for picking up garbage from people's houses is having to collect it and the hauling of it to a landfill. So that's what we're trying to do, is not have to take it so far. So that's the economic reason for us. And of course,
stretch the life of the landfill by not putting things in there that don't need to go in there.
That as well.
Mm-hmm. And this holiday season, a big influx in your trash pickup will be, hopefully, you'll see a lot of paper products.
This is our number one time of year.
Oh, I bet.
Christmas time and the holiday time. And a lot of people are still at home. It's not like the summertime where it goes down. We have two really busy times is Earth Day, which is in April. And then this time, the Christmas time, this time of year, not only is it the paper, but if you think about what the number one time for glass in the city of Phoenix.
Wait. St. Patty's Day?
That's number two.
Is it number two? Okay. So what's number one?
Number one is New Year's.
Oh,
and everybody all the...
Their champagne.
The champagne and all those bottles that you see that come through. So the weights are enormous. If you know, we took that tour, I think it was the beginning of the summer. It was. And just picture what you saw there and increase it. And that material's going out the doors almost during the wintertime, during the Christmas time. That's how much material we get.
Fantastic. And you've brought a special guest in studio.
I did. This is Isabel Gutierrez.
Good morning.
Miss Isabel, to what do we owe this privilege of your presence here this morning?
Well, I'm here with Terry, and we're here to talk about Valleywide Recycling Partnership and how we work with other cities, and we educate on the same things that we're talking about now, recycling, composting, the green organics programs.
I was surprised. I tell you what, if I could be king for a day, I might consider outlawing grocery plastic bags after I saw the mess they cause for you people in the trash disposal business. Those things are your biggest enemy.
Yeah, they are a challenge. They are. We were working with the grocers, the Arizona Food Marketing Alliance, and they represent all of the grocers in town. If you've gone into a grocery store anywhere, actually in the state, you've probably seen the bins in front of the store where you take back your plastic bags.
Yeah.
Well, next year, Isabel and their group are going to start promoting the other things you can put into that bin. So Ziploc bags, those puffy pillow plastic things that we're getting right now.
Packaging.
The packaging.
Clouds.
Clouds. Yeah. You can put those into that bin as well. Bread bags, a newspaper bag, all those plastic bags. So we're trying to find a way.
Newspaper bags on a rainy day.
Exactly. Or the wrap.
Or the wraps.
Mm-hmm. And make sure that they go into those bins, not into the blue bin for recycling where you are. And the reason for that, it keeps them a lot cleaner. And that makes it easier to recycle on the other end. And the grocers do it. They recycle the shrink wrap they get on pallets at the same time.
My concept of recycling was, okay, well, look, all this stuff goes down a conveyor, just gets incinerated. They ought to be able to take these bags along with all the other stuff. I'm going to put my bags in there. Until you showed me. Mm-hmm. Y'all had one entire line closed down that day, ripping these bags out of the gears and the mechanisms of your equipment.
That's right. They get wrapped on the rollers of the conveyor belts. They'd have to take a giant knife and cut it all out. It's not only that, videotape and wires and all that stuff, but plastic bags are the number one. Yeah, you saw it. It's crazy.
Can I get a little bit into that? Because it stopped me if I'm approaching a topic that I shouldn't be, but this system actually came out of England.
Right. Well, it's actually Dutch, but
Dutch.
Yeah,
okay.
Close enough.
Well, it works very well for them, but it's a much different climate. Mm-hmm. You bring that equipment down here, and you put it in, and with the dry static, I mean, y'all had tried misters, you tried a lot of other things to create that climate that it works so well in. And so we asked, well, why can't you just replace it? The investment y'all have into this equipment is
enormous,
mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can just. Where do you recycle 10 billion tons of this machinery? You can't just scrap it.
In the machinery, yeah, you're right. It's fairly sophisticated. It is European, but to tell you the truth, it actually works better here because it is dry. If you think about everything is wet, think of all those newspapers that you have and all those paper products. If they were so wet, they're kind of gloppy and stick together that way. The static, you're right, is actually... is an issue, especially for those little peanuts, those little styrofoam peanuts. They stick everywhere. But it works really, really well in the dry climate in terms of sorting because they use manual, they use hands as well as the machines. But you saw the investment. It's still cheaper than putting it into a hole in the ground 60 miles from town. So it's better.
It's a fascinating world y'all live in.
Thank you.
And so,
except I'm retired now, so Isabel lives there.
It's me.
So back to holidays and back to gift giving and paper wrappings and cardboards. Before we even throw it out, you're kind of in the permacultural world and a little bit in gardening. How much of this paper can I add to my composting, layering composting in my yard?
Well, most of it, of course, if you do organic, you probably won't use it because it has inks and all those other things that are on it. But most newspapers are soy inks now. So they haven't used the oil-based, Rosie, you and I might remember that, when you put your hands on the paper and it came out black.
Well, you could be able to take the silly putty and put it on the paper.
Exactly. Exactly.
Print image.
And so you can rip those up. And I've seen that in terms of the composting, what they call that, lasagna composting for gardening. And you can use most papers, most wrapping papers that we talked about. But there's a lot. You got to be careful because there's like foil in them and sometimes the glittery things, especially this time of year in the holiday part of the time of the year.
Yeah.